What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Isles Cast, your source for everything Islanders and the only Isles podcast to get a GM fired 1 hour after his team gets eliminated. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined, as always, by Ben Cohen.
What's up?
And sometimes by Kenny Iavero.
What's going on, guys? It's good to be back.
All right. Well. The Islanders have qualified for the first round of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. How are we feeling?
We didn't win? I thought we won the whole thing. Hopefully. That was it. Dude, I'm pumped. I think we look good.
Yeah, exactly. We look good. And that's all you can really say is, you know, you're going to be playing against a team that is probably going to be favored or definitely going to be favored. You know, that's, you know, how this works. But unless it's the Bruins, I'm ready.
That's kind of how I feel too. So, Isles win 3-1, really a dominating performance in the last game. What I'm thinking we do, since we haven't recorded since the game started, maybe we can just kind of talk about some of our overall takeaways rather than go, you know, game by game, but just some overall takeaways, who we thought played well, who we thought could improve, why we think we won the series. I mean, I think the obvious place to start is Anthony Beauvillier, is it not?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that kid had a series. He was going from the drop of the puck game one to the closeout in game four. I mean, he was all over the ice. He was using his speed. He was playing aggressive. That line of Bovey, Nelson, and Bailey, I thought kept the Isles afloat the first couple of games until the first line woke up in game four.
Yeah, and obviously we're talking about the second line, but on the first line, I think the first line waking up is probably more a gradual. Eberle played well, and then Barzal played well, and I don't really think we saw anything from Lee.
Yeah, what about Pageau, though? I mean, the other line obviously was, you know, the word is buzzing. Those guys are flying. But, I mean, I feel like we're getting balanced scoring, and it's only going to get better because now you're starting to see Nelson and Bailey kind of get their stride going, and that's going to be – I mean, hey, dude, if the Islanders going to get goaltending like they're getting and then the scoring, who knows?
Well, that's the thing, right, is Damon asked us about the second line, and then I started talking about the first line, and you started talking about the third line. So,
well, that's usually how these podcasts go. So, I mean, I just stop. I don't make notes anymore. I kind of have like a general idea of some things I maybe want to talk about, but you know, I mean, sure, yeah.
Well, I mean, the point being, that's three lines of that. You know, bar a couple of players on those lines have played really well, and I think, and if the fourth line had its moments, I think Cizikas was a little bit disappointing after game one. It's well documented in faceoff percentage that he was definitely behind the pace, but I think game one, he played well and he sort of didn't look himself for a lot of the series. But when we're talking about individual players that maybe weren't their best rather than whole lines, like we've pretty much talked about the third line all season like that, or, whether it was, you know, a defensive pair or something along those lines, that's not the case anymore. Right now, it's individual guys as opposed to the team as a whole, and I think that's a good sign.
Well, what we said when the Isles got J.G. Pageau, we said, finally, we'll have depth up the middle from 1-4, right? And we talked about that leading up to the playoffs, and we saw it in the qualifying round. I mean, Barry Trotz could roll all four lines. And yeah, I think Casey's definitely, it's either a combination of him still being hurt or him taking a little bit of time to get his legs under him because he was hurt, you know, at the end of the season and he hasn't played hockey in a pretty long time. But he definitely didn't look.
It's like maybe Clutterbuck and Martin are kind of like, ooh.
The fourth line didn't have a great series.
I'd rather see Ross Johnson out there. Like, I'm not saying like we need to make a change, but I wouldn't be like upset if one of those guys dropped out and they put Johnson in. Just, I don't know. Johnson he's a better skater than Matt Martin. I think he's a better hockey player than Matt Martin too. At this point, yeah. Like, who would you rather
going
have?
Going back to the centers thing, I mean, you look at it and it's definitely like down the middle. Barry could roll all four lines, and it really didn't feel like you ever had a lull in momentum, right? Like you could see from the start of game one, he was rolling four lines, and it never felt like you had this valley where you're like, okay, great, Panthers might get some sustained pressure now because line X is coming out. Like, it never felt that way. It always felt like, you know, hey, next guy up. I thought Nelson had a great series. I thought Barzee ramped up as he usually does and got better as the games went on. I thought that Pageau was everything we want out of him, steady, consistent, and he makes his wingers better. Brassard had a great series with Pageau. And then the fourth line will eventually, I think, get to where we need them to be. But, you know, all in all, you roll all four lines and you know, you've got success, and that's what we saw. And you know, on the defensive side of things, Adam Pellick comes back, everybody slots back in where they're supposed to be, and we look just like we did at the beginning of the season when we went on a 17-point game, you know, point streak. So, you know, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good going into whoever we're playing. I would prefer not to play Boston, and we'll play the winner of the Boston and Capitals game. So we'll know by the end of today, right? Do they play today or do they play Sunday?
Tomorrow.
Yes, okay. Sunday. So yeah, we'll know by the end of the weekend who our opponent is. I thought top to bottom, as far as the forwards go, as far as the D pairings go, I thought everybody looked good. No one looked like they were out of place or, you know, I know we talked about Lee and Casey, but Lee didn't play bad. He just didn't capitalize when he could.
Right. He got robbed. I mean, dude, that save that Bobrovsky made was absurd. Like, that's just, you know, he's in the right spot. If he was, like, irrelevant out there, that's one thing, you know. But you noticed him. And I thought, you know, before, like, I let Ben go, I honestly thought that Komarov looked pretty good. And that line just seemed to have a little bit more, jump and grit to it. So I think he's better than Kunagel. Well, at least against the Panthers. So I don't know about what you do against those other two teams. But I think that the Islanders just looked better with him there.
Right. That's the thing, is that I remember I was trying to find a file on my computer, and I found one of our past episodes that was titled 10 Games in a Bargeau, which, by the way, I love that play on words. Don't know what you guys think, but
yeah, we were going pun heavy at the beginning of the podcasting days.
Yeah, sure. I know. And so Cole Bargeau scores a breakaway on, I think it was a penalty shot, for our 10th win in a row. Mm-hmm. In the 17 games point streak. And I think that this is not to say that Cole Bargeau is, you know, we didn't need Pageau because we have Bargeau. It's to say that when this system is working and when it has the pieces that it needs, like your fourth line, even if it's not playing well, like your Adam Pellick, you can slot in pieces that are not as important, where replacement level players are okay because
Andy Green.
Right, exactly. When you have a system that's working, you can have some replacement level players that just sort of do a job. And it sort of doesn't really matter which person it is when it comes to the Islander system, if you have those key players, like the fourth line, like obviously Barzal, like you know, other guys who are you're gonna get supplemental scoring, like Beauvillier taking over the series, and then your defense is you know, the defense.
Yeah, we don't have players like going in. I mean, you look at the guy was a captain playing top pair minutes for the Devils, obviously a terrible team, but now he's playing like sheltered third pair minutes. It's like, it's just, I don't know. Like, we just,
and I think everyone, great.
Yeah, he looks good. I mean, honestly, like, let him go. I mean, he's probably at this point in his career just as good as Boychuk, you know, like they're not, Boychuk brings a little bit of a different kind of like attitude and stuff, and he might score a goal here or make.
They're a little different. Boychuk's like an old hammer, and Andy Green's like an old screwdriver.
Like, he's like steady though. They're both steady.
Yes, they're, I mean, I'm confident with either of them on the third.
Oh, yeah. Dude, hell yeah, we got Pellick and Pulock. Dude, we're good.
So can we talk about Pulock basically saving the bacon twice on Barkov plays? I mean, he was all over Barkov this series.
And Barkov is not easy guy to take. Like, he's a beast. That guy's huge, all right? Like, Barkov's a big guy. He's like a Malkin-esque type of guy. And to handle him like that, yeah, that's insane, dude.
I don't think
that would pay him more. We're going to have to pay him more now because of that series.
It's true. That open net that Barkov had, that just maybe got him a million bucks.
A million bucks at least, dude. You know?
$1 million poke check.
If the Rangers giving him a contract, they'd be giving him like 10 years, 10 million. They would just somehow make a deal where you can make a 10-year deal.
Listen, we just won a playoff round. Keep the Rangers talk for the end of the show. I don't want to even hear about the Red Pants right now.
It's close to home here, you know?
I know you live with the enemy, but please.
Oh, dude, it was great. It was beautiful. It was swift. It was very swift.
All right. Can I throw some stats at you guys?
Stat guy. Yeah.
All right. Qualifying round stats. Anthony Beauvillier. 3 goals, 1 power play goal, 2 assists. Ryan Pulock, 1 goal, power play goal, and 3 assists. Josh Bailey, 4 assists, 3 power play points. Devon Taves, 4 assists, 3 power play points. JG Pageau, 3 goals. Jordan Eberle, 2 goals, 1 power play goal, and an assist. And Brock Nelson, 2 goals, 1 power play goal, and an assist. Semyon Varlamov, 932 save percentage, 1.77 goals against. Let's go, boys.
You know what? Varlamov and Bobrovsky, like, switched roles this series. Bobrovsky was, like, what Varlamov was for half the season, where he would make saves where you'd be like, oh, he's really good, but then also let in a gimme, like, almost every game. And then Varlamov – but that's the thing, is that Varlamov played a game like you would have expected from – your Robin Lehner, where he did everything he needed to, and there were a couple really great saves, but in general, he just did his job. And he had great stats because of the system in front of him, and he played very well. And that's not to take anything away from him, he just did what he had to do.
He looked quieter in net. And honestly, I'm going to attribute this win to Sorokin, because I think he just feels it already. Like, he just looked better. He just looked sharper. Like, I don't know if that's like on his mind, this kid being there, like, oh, you know, this kid could be taking some of my ice time away. Let me go on a run here. Whatever it is, Varlamov.
Well, yeah, there's an advanced stat better for that. It's called WWP. It's white whale pressure.
Yeah, there you go.
He just stares at you in the stands, and you know.
Dude, whatever it is, man, he looks better, you know, because he knows he's going to be here. But are you going to be here and be the starter? Or, you know, like, so now it's like, I don't know. That's got to mean something. It's got to mean something. I'm not saying it. I'm obviously joking when I say he's the reason why, but I obviously was not high on Varlamov. He didn't have to do anything crazy this series, but he looked like he wasn't over moving in the net. Like, he just was staying square, and the power play goals they scored. I mean, Hoffman is insane. What are you going to do? So he looked good. Like, we're going to need him to be exactly that if we're going to beat the Bruins or Washington, though, for sure. I mean, Holtby and Rask, those guys are coming to play. And you can't have Varlamov, like, bobbling, like, basic shots for rebounds. And then, you know, that's all I'm going to say about that.
What was the one Grice not getting a game in?
I think that's fine. It's fine. No, you can't – listen, you can't put guys in and just – listen, if Grice needs to go, he needs to go. But – I'm okay with that. And I'm not a Varlamov guy. I'm a more of a Grice guy, but, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it too. I was just shocked because I think.
Really? Are other teams doing it though? I haven't seen other teams like bouncing.
It's just about a back-to-back. You don't, I think.
Most teams lost their first game and switch goalies though.
But they don't have, I mean, like you said, you're a Grice guy, and I think that sort of proves that there's no, like, out-and-out better player there. And yeah, I understand, you know, why a team like the Panthers are a perfect example, why a team like the Panthers would play Bobrovsky 4 times in, what, 8, 7 nights? But the Islanders didn't have to play Varlamov 4 times in 7 nights because they have a guy that is at the least, not much worse for a back-to-back. I didn't think it was necessary. And then he also lost the back-to-back.
I think he looked sharp though. Like, nothing was his fault. Oh, like, I think so too. I'll be real honest. Like, I don't think anything was like, you know what I mean? It was like, we just kind of like played like crap in front of him and they let up the blunder, that penalty. But listen, he didn't let up a bad goal after it. He just took a bad penalty.
I think the big question, though, is because I'm with you, Ben. I felt like
there was arrested.
There was a perfect opportunity to play Grice in game three because it was back-to-back. We're up 2-0. What's the worst that's going to happen? Now, that being said, the way it worked out, I think, benefited the Islanders because it gave them another game under their belts to get their legs going. And now we've got the first line that's starting to really jam. And that's a great thing. You know, Barzy's finally going. If we would have taken that in three, you know, the team starts sitting again. Maybe I'm a little, you know, gun shy of having a long break because of what happened last year when we swept the Pens and then got, you know, swept by the Hurricanes. But
I know.
Jeez, man. Oh, Jesus. They got to figure something out. Is there anything you can do, or this is what it is, like in sports, like scheduling wise, like is there, didn't another sport, like when you would advance, if the other team was available also, they would start the second round. Wasn't that basketball at one point, Damon?
Yeah, and hockey did it too. Because really? I remember sometimes you'd have like on some weird nights, you'd have like game seven of round one and you'd have game one of round two going at the same time.
Really? Like back at ESPN, like when it was on ESPN?
For some reason I'm remembering like a couple of years ago when the California teams were really going, I think there was a series with like the Kings and the Sharks or something where they went like the same night that game, that round one was still going on. I think so. I think that's
when would our second
arena
round
availability
start? When does playoffs start? Like when do we start up? Guaranteed.
Tuesday. Round one starts Tuesday.
Okay. And do you think we have an advantage over teams like? I think we have an advantage right off the hop. If you can steal game one against a team like Boston or Washington, it really like got. Unless you guys don't want to get into it right now, but I really think that. You know, we have the benefit of just battling to get into the playoffs where the other teams are just playing for like, you know, it doesn't really mean much. So, like, well, I think that's an advantage for us. Plus,
it's hard to say because this is all unprecedented. I've been watching the round robin games and like you look at Boston, they look completely disinterested.
I know. Yeah. But are you just going to be able to turn it up? Like, I don't think you can, dude. There's no – based off what? There's nothing to turn up. If you don't turn it up right now – you're gonna be down 2-0 against the Islanders, dude. I'm not worried about either one of these teams, to be honest with you. I think if we could get the same kind of level of scoring, if Varlamov doesn't shit the bed, like we have a defensive system that everyone's healthy, you know?
I just worry if Boston gets going, Boston plays our game just much better.
Exactly. And if they play us, it means they beat the Caps.
With Pelech.
Yeah.
Really? All right. Like prior to January.
Their first line is so much stronger than what.
Okay, but what about their second and third line? Because we have like three lines that could all score.
Listen,
and I don't think
the Bruins are not – I don't think they're as much better in – I guess what I'm saying is I don't think they're going to sweep. I think they would win in six. I think that we'd give them a series. I saw the Islanders win in the shootout in TD Garden, and I think the Islanders hung with them, and I think that's the kind of thing where if the Islanders play perfectly, they can win games against the Bruins. It's just you have to play perfectly to beat the Bruins because they're not going to give you an inch. And the reason that I'm worried about the Bruins is that I think as much as they lost two games, if we play them, it means they beat the Caps. Which I think means that they at least didn't shit the bed for a third game in a row and at least improved a little bit. And I think even then I could see like the Islanders taking game one because they're sharper, but still I'd still take the Bruins in a series with the Islanders up 1-0. They're just so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Damon, you want to go first?
I mean,
I just think it means
it's hard for me. Am I going first or no?
I don't know. I'm going rogue, dude. Do your thing.
I think it's hard to – I can't sit here and say with full confidence and, look, take my Islander fan card away if this upsets people. But you can't be sitting there – wherever you're listening to this, you can't sit there and say you're confident that you can see the Islanders winning four games. I don't know if I've seen the Islanders beat the Bruins four times in the last 5 years. Like – total. So I don't see us winning four games in a best of seven against Boston.
All right, bro.
It's tough. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. But if I'm going to make a choice.
It's August 8th, dude. It's me. I don't care how good Boston was. I don't care how good any team was in the regular season. Literally, dude, half of these guys probably don't even want to play. Okay? They probably don't even want to play. The Islanders just battled to get into the playoffs. If the Islanders are an underdog, like, I don't know what the odds are, but I put money on the Islanders. You never know, dude. If this is – you don't want to – listen, I guarantee you Boston and Washington are not going – oh, they're excited to play the Islanders. No one wants to play the Islanders. Dude, are you kidding me?
Oh, like, that's true. That's true. I'm with you there.
Let's get some respect here, dude. I think and obviously going into the playoffs before the COVID thing, the Islanders were a dumpster fire. Like, we were not going to make the playoffs. Straight up, we were not going to make the playoffs. I think we can all say that, right? I mean, odds are it was going downhill. That break.
Well, you know how I felt about it.
Yeah, of course. We're all on the same page. You get Pelech back, though. Now you got Pageau, he's somewhat familiar. It wasn't just like in for seven games and then shut the season down. It was like, okay, he's practiced a bunch, gets his system, and he looks comfortable. The guy's he's a spark plug, and he's a playoff player. We never had that. And we didn't lose anybody, dude. You added him to Bailey, Nelson, who haven't even done anything yet. Eberle's our best forward probably consistently. Beauvillier is just like, have fun on your stick. I'm going to write have fun on my stick, dude, on that Thursday. Let's see what happens. I don't know. Like, we're sick right now. We could beat Boston or Washington. I really think
we could beat anybody, honestly.
Yeah, dude, we have the best defense in the league. Like, any football team you bet on, if they had the best defense, you're in every game. We're in every game, dude. Every game.
We're in every game.
All right.
First of all, I bet the under. Like, every Bruins Islanders game is going to end 2-1.
Yeah.
I was telling, because I have living in Boston territory, I have a friend who's like more of a Patriots fan and then sort of like Celtics, Red Sox. And then sort of like, I want to like hockey, but also there are a lot of other sports that I like. And also, you know, you sort of have to get into hockey before you can even really see the puck that well, which is something that I went through, you know, not being from a hockey family. And I was like, you know, if the Bruins win against the Caps, like, be ready for a series that is not going to be fun for you. You are not going to enjoy watching this series because it's enjoyable for a hockey fan, but not for like a casual one, because this is, I mean, no game is going to have more than 5 goals in it. I refuse to believe that.
Bruins fan, though? Your buddy's a Bruins fan?
Yeah.
Does he care? Like, does he want to play the Islanders, or is he like,
he'll watch the games.
He doesn't care. He's not a real, like hardcore fan.
No, like, he cares, but just, like, less than he does about other sports, you know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's hard.
Interested to, like, talk to a real hockey fan and ask them, like, hey, do you guys care? Like, do they care about facing the Islanders? Or
they're
just, like,
they're worried about us. They got 100 points in the regular season. I mean, let's
so did we last year, bro. We had 101.
Hang on a second. Let's really, really think about this. You've got a team in the Boston Bruins, that was an absolute wagon all year long. Now, they're playing games that don't really mean a whole lot, and they haven't really gotten up for the games yet. But if you really sit here and say you want the Bruins, I think you're kind of crazy, because they're basically the best team in the league.
Who won the cup last year?
Oh, I'm sorry. They lost game 7 of the finals. I'm sorry.
And they've been much better than you this season. Much better.
Like, if you're not rooting for Ovi, I'm going to go out and get a Capitals jersey and put it on. I'll wear a Dale Hunter jersey, for God's sakes. That's how bad I don't want to play Boston.
I'm really sorry.
You think that Washington is, like, that much worse? Like it's going to be a better matchup for us? No. You think Washington?
I just don't want to play.
I said this when the final horn blew against Florida on Friday. I said I would take the Islanders over any of the teams except Boston. I'd take us over the Capitals. And I'm sorry, I know it sucks for you, Damon, but I really wanted the Flyers in the next round, because I would have 100% taken us over the Flyers.
The Flyers are, like, peaking right now.
I know, but we can beat them. We match up.
I agree. I agree. And we'll have to beat them. We'll have to beat them in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's fine. I'm good with that.
David, you're gonna never make it through, bro. You're gonna get stabbed. Like, we're gonna be reading about you on the news.
Raptors
beat the Flyers in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Listen, so what would it have to take now? Because they're the second. So when would we play them if they, I guess we don't know yet because they're not the first, we don't know if they're the first or second seed.
Exactly. So this it would either be the Flyers or the Lightning if we, but I'll take the Lightning too. I think we match up well against the Lightning too.
The devil, oh, you know, the devil, you know, is who I want. And that's the Washington Capitals. Barry knows them in and out. He can make a game plan against them. The
okay. Bruins, that's an argument I can listen to.
I mean, yeah.
Not, oh God, we're never gonna beat them because Mark
really, but really. Looks sick. Okay, I know you're proud that we just beat the 10th seed in the East, but like realistically speaking, Boston Bruins are a complete package of a team.
Yeah,
they've got two goalies that can get hot and
Put a lock in, dude. Oh my God, we would score 40 goals against him. He sucks. I don't care, dude. I don't care. I don't care what his stats say. Put him in. Start him.
I got to tell you guys, I can just see, you know, the Aho move on that he put on D'Angelo for that incredible goal for the Canes?
When he broke Tony D's ankles?
I can just picture Barzal doing that to Charlie McAvoy. I would go crazy. I would. No one would hear the end of it. No one in this city in New England would hear the end of it.
Listen, if we end up matching against the Bruins, it's because we did what we needed to do. We took care of business and they didn't. And that's fine. That's fine. We'll go into it. We'll be pumped. I think we'll give them a great series.
Art Halak, please.
The question was who we want more. Who scares you on the Caps besides Ovi? At this point, they're an older team. They're deep.
I still get scared of Kuznetsov because of Taves' power
play. Every time their power, it's like, dude, just all right. Their power play, that's what scares me, is their power play.
Boston's power play was second in the league, Kenny.
All right.
Boston's power play hasn't been good recently.
Really? Is it bad?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like low key really bad, and it's like a problem. I'm gonna look this up. I could be completely wrong. They could be number one.
Ben, pull up the power play stats for the regular season. I'm telling you, Boston was like one or two.
Okay.
Their power play is.
Okay, I want to hear something.
Want a licking incident part two with Marchand and Leo?
Okay, so the
got a cage on.
I'll tell you that in the playoffs. In the two games, Boston's
power play. No, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. And I don't think Boston scored yet on the power play. Right there is zero.
Okay, yeah, and Washington is like 12.5. They are second in the league in the regular season, and Washington were 17th in the league.
Thank you.
It's August 8th, boys.
Be careful what you wish for, Ken.
When we clinch and beat Boston, play the clip back August 8th. We're playing it back. That's going to be the intro. That 1 minute is going to be the intro when we beat Boston. I'm not worried about it. I don't care what they did.
I would love for that to be the case. That's my ideal scenario is if we were
to beat them in the regular season, we could beat them. Like this team, we could beat anybody. I'm not worried about it, dude. Yeah, their power plays are sick. Like as far as I'm concerned, like I don't care like what these guys were clicking at from October to this time. It's all a wash. So you just look at the both lineups. Obviously, Washington has a sick power play unit. Whether they had good stats or not, they can roll out five guys that could have the number one power play unit in the playoffs going forward, and it wouldn't surprise you. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, obviously Boston's fucking nasty. Like,
I still would take Boston's secondary scoring over Washington's.
True.
I would take those guys like Jake DeBrusk, and even like they have a fourth line that's comparable to our fourth line.
Yeah, they're Wagner. They have a good fourth line.
They have a team comparable to us. You know what I mean? Like we have balanced scoring. They might have a little bit better of a first line than us, but I think that we might have a little bit better of a second and third line, or like at least comparable and a better fourth line. Like it's even. They're not like a powerhouse.
I think we're better than them at two things. I think we have a better like second and third D line than them. And I think we have better center depth, not top line, top heavy center, but better center depth. And that's it.
Like Pajot all year. Do we have five more points? Do you think six more points as a team from the beginning? Like we would have finished with 100-something points. Probably
part of me thinks like how much better could we have been in the first 20 games of the season? Probably not at all. And would he have been the answer to Cizikas and Pellet going down?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. That guy's unreal defensively. He's like,
I mean, he wasn't when he came over. Like, he was unreal, but we still lost the games when he came over.
No, like, he didn't get a single win until the qualifying round. With
exactly.
The
Isles. He was great. It wasn't his fault. I just don't think that was evidence that he would have been the difference maker for us this season. I think he can be in the future. And I think he was.
He's already been.
In addition like, to Mobilier in the playoffs. Right.
He was a factor against the Panthers, you know? Sure. He was.
Here's what I'm going to say about who we play. It doesn't – at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. If the Islanders play the way that they played against the Panthers and the way that they played the first 20 games of the season, I think we're going to have a very good chance to beat either of those teams.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
To me, you got to play your game, stay in it. Varley's got to keep the boys in it. We've got to keep rolling our four lines, and I think we'll be all right. Will we get out of the first round? I don't know. It's a tough matchup because the way these qualifiers are, it's stupid now. Everything is mixed up, and the top teams aren't in the top and all that. But realistically, you know, look, the Montreal Canadiens beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, so anything can happen.
That's what I'm saying, man. But would you say it's an advantage the Islanders just played meaningful hockey games to get into the playoffs?
I wasn't sure at the start, and Ben and I actually talked about this. We said, who's got the advantage? Now that I've watched the games, I absolutely think we have an advantage because I don't think these teams know if they should really get cranked up or not. And I think
it's a must-win game one, guys. Oh, we can just steal one with the change, you know? Like just
Because I fully expect the Bruins to come out and beat the Caps. I really do.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you about the us having an advantage or us being the, you know, not just the Islanders, but the teams who had to go through the qualifying rounds. I remember we were talking about it when we were talking about the potential or when this format first came out, where sure, it kind of sucks if you're a Bruins fan because you were far and away the best team in the league this year, that you're now going to be the third or fourth seed, and that always had the potential of happening just because, you know, how can you predict games where you're just, you know, finding your feet? But at the end of the day, I think playing a meaningful hockey is super, super important. And I think I think that I wasn't able to watch either of the Bruins games, but I think it would have been better for every team in the round robin to take it more seriously, just to get in the mindset of playing meaningful hockey. Because if they were just playing like exhibition games, I would take the most of the qualifying teams. Like I'm not going to sit here and say I think the Canadians are going to beat the winner of the Flyers Tampa game tomorrow. I don't think that's true.
Tonight. They play tonight. Yeah.
I don't think that like you can really say that, but at the same time, I think I would take the Hurricanes over the loser of the Bruins and Washington game, especially if it's Washington. I could totally see the Hurricanes beating Washington twice in a row.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, when I was looking at it, I was saying, okay, who may there be some gamesmanship? Would one team want to try to, like, you know, look for different matchups and maybe, you know, what, maybe the Bruins tank? But you know what? The Hurricanes play a real heavy forecheck game too, and they're faster than us. So I don't think you'd want to play them if you're Washington or Boston. So both of those teams are probably going to be pretty cranked up. I think they'd both, if you had the choice, they'd both rather play the Isles versus the Canes. So the only question mark the Canes have is in net. And, you know, to be fair, until Sorokin can play, we have question marks too.
Yeah, I agree. You
know, So check this out. This is what I found really, really interesting. I was listening to Sportsnet 2 days ago, maybe, and Brian Burke was on there, and I love Brian Burke. He's such an old school, grumpy old GM. He's the best.
Yeah, I also like it. That guy. He's great.
Man, he doesn't care. He's an American living in Canada. He doesn't care. So anyway, he was talking about Bill Torrey, and he said, when I first came into the league, I was a GM. I was 41 years old. It was 19. I think he said it was like 93. And Torrey was the GM of the Panthers, I think, at that point. And he talked to Bill and he said, Bill, how do I build a Stanley Cup contending team? I mean, you built a dynasty. Then you built the Panthers up to what they are. Like, how do I do it? And Bill Torrey said, here's what you need. He said, in the playoffs, you're always going to play a team that's bigger than you. So you have to be big and you have to play physical. You're going to play a team that's faster than you. So you've got to be fast. You've got to be quick. He said, you're going to play a team that has great special teams. You've got to be awesome on the penalty kill. You've got to be awesome on the power play. And then by the time you get through all three of those teams, you're going to be facing a team in the West that's probably good at all three because they got to the Stanley Cup Finals. So you've got to make sure that you're better than that other team at all three of those things. And that's how you win the Stanley Cup. Now, this Islanders team, apart from special teams, I think can play the speed game and can play the physical game. And that's good. It's the special teams where I'm worried. And that's, again, going back to the Bruins. And if I can bring it back to the Panthers series, I thought our power play looked above average. I think our penalty kill looked terrible. And that's what scares me. Our kill could not figure out the same damn play that the Panthers were doing every game with Hoffman on the circle. Okay. Every game, the same thing. Could not figure it out.
Hold on, though. Hold on. Because you dropped this on me before, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think Florida has the best power play in the league. Am I wrong? Were they in the regular season? Weren't they the best power play in the league? Or no?
No.
Well, they're one of the tops. They have to be. I remember. Dude,
I think they were 20-something. Ben, no. pull up your history, Ben.
10th.
Ben?
10th.
Okay.
Take the O off. I think it was first.
Yeah. I mean, they have a good power play, though.
They have a good power play. So I'm going to give the
out. They undressed us. Now, we beat them 5-on-5. Hands down, we dominated the series 5-on-5. But if it's a push against the Bruins or the Caps, and then it comes down to special teams, we got to figure something out on the kill. Or we're out. Yeah. We're out in five.
Yeah, or just don't take penalties.
Yeah, okay.
Which we kind of
don't take penalties, you're still going to be in the box. It's just the way the league works. I mean, Ben, right. Like, am I crazy?
No. We definitely were poor on the penalty kill. I think – I don't know. Honestly, maybe this is, like – I don't know if I can even say this and be a normal person, but I think actually on the penalty kill was when both Pelech and Pulak made like probably like one, two, three mistakes each through the series, just on the penalty kill when to move out. It looked like the respective wing and defenseman in front of them had no chemistry within them that at all, and it didn't look like a personnel problem. If we brought in Komarov to be a better penalty killer, that didn't help it. I there are a couple of guys I love on the penalty kill. I love Pajot on the penalty kill, and I love Bo on the penalty kill, and generally I'm never worried when Pelech and Pulak are on the penalty kill. I don't think they play together on the penalty kill. I think Pelech plays with Mayfield and Pulak plays with it could be I think it might be Andy Green.
Green was out there too.
Yeah. Right. There were a couple times where it looked like whether it was just a miscommunication or the defenseman not checking out, where there were just not enough guys down low. And it didn't look like a personnel issue. It looked like a coordination, like chemistry issue. So it seemed to me like there was something going on there that if you want to take an advantage from not playing for 3 days, that's your advantage. You need to work on the penalty kill.
Exactly. I'm with you. That's how I feel. I feel use that to absolutely work on special teams, because you can't have the same PK. Power play was fine. We were scoring goals. Power play it could be a little bit better, but it looked good all in all. The penalty kill was so disappointing. I felt like every time Florida got a power play, they were going to score because they were just doing the same thing like every time. Except you're going to have a guy like Marchand, you're going to have Chara and Krug and McAvoy bombs away from the point. Like, that power play gets going, that could be an early exit for us. So, and I know we're not guaranteed to play Boston, but just saying, I'd rather take Ovi knowing where he's going to be and his shot than Boston's power play. So, because I think 5-on-5 we can outplay the Caps. I really do. I don't know if 5-on-5 we can outplay the Bruins.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think our team could be it's a different look when you have Peugeot on the third line. It just makes everyone better, and it's another threat, and we didn't have that all year. So it's like, he's a perfect player. He's so responsible defensively. It's, you know, our team is stacked on the middle, really.
Yeah.
No, change things, you know, in my opinion. But, hey, how about Letty looking good out there?
He looks really good with Andy Green, actually. And I didn't think he was good game one, actually, with Boychuk.
I think he's just like, I don't know. He just gives it away. He, like, I don't know. The guy just is – it's just obvious that he struggles the most, like getting the puck to its like on someone's tape to not be like an icing or like a turnover. I really iso cam him, so maybe I'm just picking on the guy, but he struggles out there, dude. He gets bullied physically. Like, guys like see his number, they're like, oh, we'll just play the body and just put him in. Like, he's kind of I don't know.
He struggles with making that decision out of the zone, because I think sometimes he thinks he can leg it, and so instead of him thinking pass first and looking at all of his options, he thinks, should I pass or should I skate it out? And then by that time, he's got somebody on him. And
if he just legged it every time, I'd be okay with him turning it over if he legged it. And once every four times, a guy could keep up with him and take it away. It's just like you said, the indecisiveness. It's like he holds up. He's like the guy that you're playing with out there that when you're open for that split second, if he doesn't pass to you right then, it's like you're so far behind. It's like that's Letty. And I like as a forward, I'm looking like, okay, if I was on the rink, like I like to, you know, picture myself as Barzal, not a big deal. I'm just like skating out there, and I'm like, dude, if I was playing out there with Letty, oh god, you know he's the guy in the locker when the locker room, you're just like, this guy just fucking sucks, dude. Look at him, he's a mess. Like, there's no way. He's just so clear in a way, the guy who struggles the most. I just can't wait for Dobson to just, I don't know. Something's got to go. How do we not trade
Dobson and Green together? I really
loved them in the exhibition game.
They look great. Dobson looked so much better, didn't he? Dobson looked like it was like a different level Dobson already. And it was just one game, I know, but him and Barzal looked like they were.
It's the Seidenberg house, I'm telling you.
Dennis, get him back in there. I'd rather have Seidenberg play than fucking Letty.
No. I mean, like, so you know how Barzal was like sleeping in Seidenberg's basement and stuff? That's where Dobson is right now.
Is he?
There's a lot of talent in that basement. Some basements have mold. Others have greatness.
it's Barzal and Dobson. They're in Seidenberg's basement, you know, playing NHL. They've got it down.
The best part about it is like Dobson is going to be a blend, in my opinion, between and better than both of them, but a Pelikan Pulak like freak. Like, he's going to be just like an unreal skater, power play quarterback that actually hits the net every time with a shot.
Having the four of them for a while is just such a blessing. And then, like, Taves, you got Taves, Pulak, Pelik, Dobson, and Mayfield. Like,
Mayfield and Pelik.
Hello, core.
They're all getting paid $10 an hour too. Like, dude, the contract is a steal.
He's making nothing. It's crazy.
He's making nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So we'll see. We'll know by the end of the weekend who we're playing. Have you guys been enjoying the rest of the festivities in the qualifying round? There's been some crazy stuff. Save the Kid and Malkin are out. The Rangers got absolutely smoked.
What a theory for you guys. Because I've been talking a lot recently with my friends who, you know, basketball starting up and they're all Celtics fans. And so we're texting about that. And you know, I'm trying to add hockey to the conversation, which it does get added to a lot because of the same friend that's a Bruins fan, you know, trying to keep up and stuff, where I think there's no secret that hockey has its issues with marketing and, you know, expanding its brand. But I think yesterday being Saturday or Friday, six elimination games. If what happened yesterday, and I'll go through it and compare it, had happened in the NBA, for example, we would be talking about it for years. Two 12 seeds beat two 5 seeds, knocking out two top 5 players, probably two top 3 players in the league. Definitely, you know, the best player in the league and a top 5 player in the league and another, you know, top 10 player in the league, you know, some of the best guys, and also, you know, a huge market in Pittsburgh. five of the six games in result in the team, you know, on the brink being eliminated. And the one that didn't involved certainly the biggest, I think it's the biggest market in hockey, Toronto. Coming back, you know, the way the Bruins came back against them in 2013. And
it was a miraculous
comeback. Think about it's like, it would be like the Lakers coming back, you know, 20 points down halfway through the fourth quarter. And then winning it in overtime on a buzzer beater. If this happened in a sport with a larger, better marketed fan base, we wouldn't hear the end of it. And I mean, it almost made me a little bit like disappointed that it's not getting the coverage that I think it deserves, because it was a truly incredible day of hockey. But me, you know, someone who is, you know, talking about hockey, of course, you know, every week and watching hockey, I missed a couple of the games just because, you know, I was doing other things, and that's, you know, I regret it obviously, because it was a super amazing day. And I feel like it's the simple things where if it had been marketed better, it would have been the kind of day where you move everything and you just watch hockey all day.
Hockey's always been tribal though, dude. Like, it's always been a tribal niche sport in at least in the States. And I don't see how you can really change that. There's a barrier of entry there. The understanding of the game and being able to skate, to play it and really enjoy it. It's so much harder than, you know, all you need to do is go to, you know, your sporting goods store and get a soccer ball or get a baseball bat or get a basketball and away you go. I mean, hockey, there's just more to it.
For sure.
And I think that's always been a tougher, there's a reason why there's hotbeds in Minnesota and Boston and, you know, Maine and a lot of the cold weather country states, but it's just, that's the way it's always been. Like, and I just, it'll be interesting to see after the TV deal runs out and if they, you know, broaden their horizons, because I think NBC's done a good job, but not the best job. And having Mike Milbury on there in any capacity is just a joke.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I was ready to pop the champagne last night, because for the Rangers to be out, we've probably seen Henrik Lundqvist play his last game as a Ranger. He's the king of nothing as far as I'm concerned, because he's won nothing as a Ranger. So that's great. I love the fact that Sid was eliminated on his birthday. That's just a beautiful thing. I felt bad for Connor. You know, Connor McDavid deserves so much better than what he's got in Edmonton. And it's just, for them to get eliminated by the 12th seed was really tragic. And then we were so close to Johnny PJs. The day after he gets stripped and is the GOAT of the city for the Blue Jackets going up 2-1 on them, he leads a miraculous comeback. It with 4 minutes to go, they're down 3-0, and they end up winning in overtime. It's like, you know, it was a wild, wild day of hockey. Here's a big question for you, and I've seen this idea floated out on Twitter. Do you like this playoff format, and should the NHL keep it moving forward?
In principle, yes. I think the play-in is cool. I think they would need to figure out a way to have the top four teams playing important hockey without also screwing a team like the Bruins over. Because I think we talked about this, how when you come up with a plan, you have to, someone's going to be screwed over, and you just have to try to screw over the least people as little as possible. And if you're looking for who this format screwed over, it's the Bruins. No question about it. They would have played the Canadiens. They would have won that game in three games playing, you know, and Bergeron could have sat. I don't care that Montreal beat Pittsburgh deservedly. The Bruins would have won that game with their eyes, would have won that series with their eyes closed. Because at some point, you're just not a good team in the Canadiens.
Yeah, but that's what makes this so crazy. Is like,
right, but it kind of,
like,
I think
that's why I feel like we could beat any team, because, dude, are we a better hockey team than the Montreal Canadiens?
Yes.
For sure. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the Montreal beating Pittsburgh is more shocking than us beating Washington or Boston.
Agreed.
Maybe not to, like, I think to us as, like, hardcore fans, it might be more shocking or less shocking. I don't know. What do you think? Is it the same Damon, or am I completely off? Like, it obviously means way more if we upset, you know, Boston or Washington next round.
I think
round,
the gap between us and the top is not as big as the gap between Montreal and Pittsburgh.
I think Montreal, yeah. The Montreal-Pittsburgh series was an absolute stunner. Like, stunner. But I think as Islander fans, we sit here and we say, yeah, we can beat the Bruins. But I think the hockey world in general would find it just as surprising as Montreal beating the Penguins as if we beat the Bruins. No one respects the Islanders. They just don't. Nobody. We play a boring brand of hockey. Everybody says, what a great day of hockey, except for the Islander game, because they just put you to sleep. And that's intentional. I mean, look, the Devils won many cups putting the other team to sleep. So if it means wins, I'm for it. But I think, I think the hockey world would be pretty shocked if we beat the Bruins. And you'll see it. If we line up against them, you'll see almost everybody will take either Washington or Boston over us. Almost everyone.
I agree, 100%. Yeah, I'm just pumped because I feel like it's just – listen, think of the 180, man, how we were feeling 2 days before they shut everything down, right? Not just with the Corona thing and how depressing that whole thing and the shutdown. Think of how bad the Islanders are playing. And now it's like a whole new – like it's like a whole new start, you know? Like, so I'm just feeling like, hey – We did what we were supposed to do versus a team like Florida. Okay, it wasn't close. We handled them, right? We handled them pretty much.
Yeah.
So let's go. Hey, let's go. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get one or two. Maybe you get the first two games against one of these teams that just been sitting around. You know, I don't think it's going to be as easy for Boston or any of these teams to just be like, we're the best team in the league. Here we go. You know what I mean? If I'll say this right now. Whatever team beats the Islanders is probably going to go to the finals from the East. That's what I think. I think Boston and Washington are better than Tampa Bay and Philly.
But I
and
think the Canes. I would agree with you in terms of quality, but I think it's way too much about matchups. Like, I would much rather play the Capitals than the Hurricanes right now. Obviously, it's impossible for us to play the Hurricanes, but like, if the Islanders were slated to play the Hurricanes right now, I would say, yeah, the Hurricanes are probably going to win that series, and they're probably not going to win the next one, just because.
Yeah, but the Islanders are, hold on. There's like no fans mean anything too, because like that was the biggest letdown. The Islanders having that giant layoff and then playing it at that dump arena. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and I also think that the Islanders probably should have won Game One, but I don't think they deserve to be swept. But I think they probably would have lost in six in that series.
Players are- Player, do you think the Canes have a more talented hockey team than the Islanders? Player for player,
because I don't like 1,000%.
I don't think they do.
Are probably dude, the most un.
Dude,
bar the Islanders, the Canes are the most underrated teams.
We don't have a guy like that. We don't have a guy like that offensively. We don't. Yeah, but Aho and Barzal are like they're you know Barzal's a little isn't he a little younger than Aho?
I think they're the same. Yeah, aren't they the same class?
Were they? I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure they're the same draft class.
Aho before
maybe,
that.
Maybe they were.
Yeah. Aho's definitely better than Barzal, 100%. Maybe I misspoke. I think our defense is just as good. Our goaltending
is good. I think we have an but that doesn't matter because we're not playing them. But yeah, I think they're they play a better brand of Islanders hockey. They are faster on the forecheck. They are just as smothering. They're just younger, so they are a little looser when it comes to certain things. But, I mean, they made the Rangers look like clowns.
Well, think about it. Like, we're in agreement that the Hurricanes are going to beat the Capitals. That would beat the Capitals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve to beat the Capitals last year. It was an amazing series, by the way. I think a lot of people sort of saw the Hurricanes beating the Capitals as, you know, better matchups. I think the Hurricanes are a better team than the Capitals. I would take them. I would just take them in a game. I just think they're a better team. I think I agree with you, Damon. I think the Capitals are old, and I think they started super well to the point where I'm pretty sure the Islanders during the 17 game point streak, it was like every time they won, the Capitals would win. So they were, you know, second in the league, but also second in the division. Mm-hmm. Where that's the Capitals starting well, but they've kind of been meh since. And as much as the Flyers put on that sick run, the Capitals didn't help it by falling off. I just don't think they're that good, and I really would hate for the Capitals to beat the Bruins and prove me wrong. But I love the Canes. I think they've got something going there. I think they're only getting better. And I think if they sign Thomas Greiss this summer, which I think was just written in the stars, I think they're going to be a cup contender. I think they're that good.
Do you remember at the beginning of the offseason, do you remember my prediction who was going to win the Metro?
You said the Canes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a great respect for that team. I think they are.
Their goaltending isn't good enough, though.
Yes. I will agree. But Mrazek has it in him to have a good series here and there.
Right.
So you never know. Hey, I got one last question before we wrap up for you guys about the draft. So the draft lottery is on Monday. And one of these very good teams that made the qualifying round is getting the number one pick and getting Alexis Lafreniere. Do you think that that is an absolute joke that the Penguins, the Rangers, the Minnesota Wild, the Edmonton Oilers, any one of these teams, they all have a 12.5% chance of getting Lafreniere. I mean, do you feel that that's unfair to the teams that didn't make the playoffs at all?
100%.
Is it 100%. Is it unfair? Yes. Do I care? No. I think it's awesome. I'm all for it.
You think it's awesome?
I think it's awesome. I would hate for them to go to the. I would hate for them to go to another Metro or even Toronto, just because it. I'm sick and tired of the East getting better, but I think it's so cool. I love the idea of making good teams better. I think as much as, you know, sports like baseball and soccer have, you know, too big of a gap between the best and the worst, I think as much as the salary cap is it's good that the gap between the best and the worst isn't as big. And the Red Wings should totally get Lafreniere. At the same time, I like the idea of a team getting more exciting and figuring out, you know, the Leafs having, from a neutral perspective, of course, you know, the Leafs figuring out all of these players, you know, they're paying, I think, like 80% of their cap to four guys. And I think that having Lafreniere on top of that, I would love to see what that does to a team. I don't think the NHL has the capacity with the cap and with, you know, the lack of trades, you know, that the NBA has, that the NHL doesn't, to have that one time where it's like, yeah, well, you have, you know, trades for, I don't know, LeBron wasn't traded, he left, but those kinds of blockbuster trades that the NHL doesn't have, well, you've got this, you've got Lafreniere going to a really good team. I think that's cool. I'd love to see it happen, just to a team in the West.
I feel like it should have gone to one of these teams that didn't get into the qualifying round. I think your number one pick should go to one of the top bottom five teams every year, no matter what. I think the fact that these other teams can shoot up in the lot, mark my words, man, either the Penguins or the Rangers are getting Lafreniere.
Do you think, I was going to ask, is that's what I wanted to ask you? Cause I had one more thing, which was what's your gut? Who's getting him for you?
So Rangers. In my gut, I feel like he's going to go to either the Preds or the Wild, because both of those teams need a superstar and they've never had one, and it would be nice for them to get that, especially the Wild. The Wild fans deserve to have a superstar. They haven't had a high pick like ever.
And they're like an American, you know, hockey hub. So yes. I think it's good. Yeah. It's good for business for the Wild to be good.
Yes. Who do I think is actually going to get it? I'm telling you, man, if I had to bet my life on it, I'd say it's either the Rangers or the Penguins. Crosby's going to groom Lafreniere just like Lemieux groomed Crosby. And the Penguins always seem to find a way to get a superstar when the world falls apart. This happened during the lockout. They had a 1 in 30 chance of getting Crosby, and they got him. Now they're going to watch. You watch. Going to be either them or the Rangers. And if the Rangers get Lafreniere, forget it.
Ugh. Don't even start, dude.
How excited is Felicia about the lottery? Is she like excited, or is she just like, whatever?
I don't think she understands how corrupt her organization is and how corrupt the NHL is that she's going to get this first pick. She doesn't understand yet. I'm trying to tell her, like, oh, here we go. Here it goes. You know, Dolan sends a check, you know, that Cablevision Newsday money.
So, Kenny, do you like, think he's going to the Rangers?
Yes, I do. I think he's going to go to the Rangers or Pittsburgh. Yeah, I agree with Damon. I just – it's complete bullshit, dude.
I think he's going to Edmonton. Detroit
deserves
that. That's bullshit, too. Like, dude, the same – this is what I'm saying. Like, this is what drives me crazy. Like, you think it's exciting now, Ben, until you see Lafreniere – as a Ranger or a Penguin next season.
No, but dude, imagine the Oilers re-sign Taylor Hall and then they have Lafreniere.
Taylor Hall's not going back there.
No, I would love for Taylor Hall to go back to Edmonton.
They have salary cap prop. Like, they're not, like, balling, and the cap's not going up, right? They're not, like,
a lot of teams. Yeah, this is going to be – that's why Lafreniere is going to help whoever – like, forget just the talent. The fact that you're going to have top-end talent in your lineup right from the beginning in a static cap world right now where all these teams were anticipating a bump up. And now, you know, we're in cap hell. We're in major cap hell. Like, and how are you going to find a team that's going to take on a contract like Nick Leddy? Like, maybe
if you're a free agent, though, what you should do is you should sign in a place where you're most likely to get a lot of points for, like, that, you know, they're kind of in cap. I don't think anyone can really afford Taylor Hall right now. So if you're Taylor Hall, I sign at a place where I'm going to get a lot of points, like the Rangers or something for like $6 million.
The Rangers don't have the cap.
No, I know. As an example of someone that, you know, obviously you're going to be underpaid, but you sign like a 1 year, like $6 million contract. You
get a shitload
of points and then you get overpaid next year.
Right. Andy Green, $5 million coming off the cap next year. Okay. But you didn't know that. Matt Martin, 2.5. If he comes back, he's getting less, right? We would agree, probably. I understand everyone has to get a raise, but right,
too.
I feel like we're not really going to be overpaying any of these guys. You know, like, I don't think Pulak's getting any more than $5 million.
I think you'll get six at least.
Yeah, I think he's getting six. I think I think Taves is. Then you got Beauvillier Taves the following year.
Sir, hold on. What do you guys think Taves is getting? Let's put on the record right now.
Four.
What do you think?
Four,
I think we've said five. Four before.
Okay. I thought you said six. I'm like, no, that's not the Rangers. No.
But it doesn't matter because Matt Barzal needs to get paid, and it's not the guy. Yeah. It's not the RFAs that are going to get overpaid, Kenny. Right. It's the fact that we have 800 third line overpaid wingers. That's the problem.
You've got to figure out a way to move. I mean, you're going to be able to move, I think, at least one of Letty and Boychuk, because it's literally impossible to sign them without moving one of them. Probably both. The problem is, I think you've got to get rid of Komarov. You've got
to
figure out.
You're not going to, man. They love him too much in the room. You're not. You're going to have to. There's two guys are going to get traded. I'm telling you right now, two guys are getting traded. It's going to be Nick Leddy and it's going to be Josh Bailey.
I think Josh Bailey will get traded too.
And that kills me.
Why?
Because we don't have room, dude. We have no cap space.
Well, I'll say another thing from a perspective of like. We're talking about the Islanders.
You can buy Clutterbuck out.
I don't want to buy
Clutterbuck. There's no buyouts. There's no buyouts. This is what I'm saying. There's no buyouts this year either.
No, there are no compliance buyouts. You can still buy them out if it's better for your contract. They're just giving
you. It's still going to count against, like, it's not, that doesn't accomplish anything.
Right. And Komarov, you can save, like, I think Komarov's deal is, the base salary is like 1.5 of the signing bonus. He's getting paid 3.5, right?
Hold on. And we're forgetting. I mean, we're not burning everything right now, but like Seattle's coming and we're going to probably make a workout a deal. I mean, we worked out the craziest deal of all time. Like, and like a freaking cell phone. And we like some, you know, it was like, we can make a deal. Well, we're going to be fine. We could, like you said, we can move Leddy to one of these teams and give him like a pick. I think we're going to be all right.
If Lou can somehow move Leddy to like I said, a Winnipeg or, you know,
Send him to the Wild.
I don't think the Wild have cap room. That's the problem. The Wild, that's why they were trying to dump Parise on us.
Yeah, so we can take Parise for Leddy.
But no.
And Ladd. Leddy and Ladd.
You've got a guy that is perfect to help the Islanders in every way, and that is Mike Hoffman, and we won't be able to get him because Andrew Ladd makes too much money. Cal Clutterbuck makes too much money. I mean, I guess Broussard's gone, but Komarov makes too much money. Varlamov makes too much money. So we can't afford what we actually need, and that's what scares me.
Ooh, also, quick note about the Panther series again. You know how much I despise Derek Broussard. Like, as much as you can possibly despise a player on the team that you support without being, you know, a horrible person.
It was that Rangers cross check that did him in
for you. But he had a good series. He had a good series.
Great series.
You'd say that I would have been the last to admit it, but he had a good series. He is on his way to earning his
absolutely gone at the end of the
season. Oh, he's totally
gone. I mean, that's what Pageau does for you.
Well, that's the issue, right? If you're talking about scenarios for the Islanders to move forward next year within the cap, and it's not an option, you have to resign your three RFAs. If you don't, you're wrong. The situation is you either have to not re-sign them or trust the youth, or not re-sign them or trust the youth. And what has Lou done? You're going to either have to make trades or trust the youth. And what has Lou done to suggest either of those things are particularly realistic?
Right. I think by not playing guys like Dobson right now and like slow burn on Taves, like he's showing that it's not that he won't trust the youth, but it's not going to be a stupid situation. The way I look at it, I'll just go real quick. Like a guy like Ross Johnson, $1 million a year for the next 3 years, you can let Matt Martin go. Okay. So that's a replace. Like we have like lower cost replacements for some of these guys. You know, you got guys like Delcal just kind of like hanging out for 700 grand. You know, you can let a guy like Broussard go and put Delcal in his place and it won't be much worse. You put Delcal with Pageau, who knows, you know? I don't know. I think they have options.
We need Wallstrom or Bellows
to play. Yeah, but those are options too. Like, yeah, I think we need to get rid of you pick one guy on offense and one guy on defense. You got Letty or Boychuk, Clutterbuck, or I guess Komarov. I'd rather keep Komarov than Clutterbuck because he's more durable in my opinion. And I don't know. I like his game more than what Clutterbuck just doesn't have it anymore, dude. He can't score. He misses the net every shot. It's like, I don't know.
Do we have left on with him?
Three. Him and Leo both have three. He gets 3.5. Leo gets three.
I like Clutterbuck more than
Six
Komarov.
And a half million. That's Mike Hoffman right there. That's the problem with.
What about Ladd? What about this Ladd thing? He's got to be like a long term IR or something. We got to be able to figure out a finagle away.
Last I heard, Lou was going to have somebody out there with a crowbar to
hold on. Hey, best hockey player last game of the season before COVID. Andrew Ladd. Andrew Ladd was actually good.
How many minutes did he play in the qualifier?
Was he even in the lineup, dude? Did he play? Was he in the lineup?
They even took him into the bubble, but I guess whatever.
He gives everybody COVID.
Well, I mean, I saw a workout video of him with his doing this crazy stuff with his knee, and he's like, no contact workout. And I'm like, no wonder you blew your knees out. You look like a rubber band. Like, what are you doing?
Honestly, he looked really good the last couple of games he played in the regular season. I was okay with having him in the lineup over, like, Broussard. Like, Broussard looked good this playoff, you know? But I think playing with guys like Pageau and some skill where he's not the guy on the line, you know? Broussard can create space for guys.
Having Sorokin on a cheap deal this year coming up is going to help the cap for sure. We have to get the RFA signed. But then you're going to – if Sorokin plays well – you're going to have to pay him and Beauvillier. And something's going to have to give here.
Anyone else forget, talking about third line guys, that Del Cole existed?
No, I didn't forget. I just don't care much.
Yeah, I just like totally forgot he was a player / person.
Tell him to stay home. Where is he?
He's just scratched.
The Islanders took four lines and three third lines into the bubble. Like they have so many players that can slot on that third line. Like think about it. They've got Komarov, Ladd, Kunackle, Dal Cole, and Johnston. all trying to get one spot on that third line.
Would you play Ladd over Komarov?
Yeah.
Ooh, Ben? I got to hear Ben's. Ben hates
Who's
Komarov.
Over
sorry.
Komarov? Whoever Komarov?
Ladd.
Ladd or
Ladd.
Komarov?
Yeah, well, I just figured I'd put you in a tough spot. Let's hear.
Well, that's all the time we have this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Our next week's guest, Leo Komarov.
Come back to Ben next week. He'll tell you all about if he wants Komarov or Ladd in the lineup.
Well, it's difficult. No, I'm thinking about this right. So it depends on how your offense is doing. And it depends on two things. First of all, if your penalty is bad, if your penalty kill is bad, you take Komarov. If your offense is bad, you take Ladd.
Yeah, I guess Komarov's playing then, huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, regardless, I mean, I'm not – Komarov is a good penalty killer, I guess.
Listen.
Take him over Kunockel, but –
if you watch Komarov actually play, he's – for the most part, he's always moving his legs. He's always finishing his checks. He actually can make a good first pass to a guy when he gets the puck. He's not a bad – he draws penalties. Like, he's a little rat
just
out
can't,
there.
That third period, that high sticking – it and
I know I should have flipped it. Just like, I know. I've been there though. Like it's a pretty reasonable thing when you act like if you've ever not trying to like oh if you don't you know but if you've played you've done that like Dame you've done that oh, yeah. where you just like yeah. try to get the guys to hit him in the face. It's like it's kind of normal.
Yeah, especially
but it's typical Komarov. I'll give you that.
Everything's a little bit more intense. Like yeah,
of course it was him though. Of course it was him. You know, yeah. Or Barzal. It's like they just both get bad penalties all the time.
Well, look, we'll know who we're playing by the end of the weekend. I'm excited for round one. It's so weird. But, like, did we win a playoff series? Did we not? I guess we did.
I feel like it in the locker room.
It's nice getting wins. You know, it's just two seasons in a row where we got to win a round.
Anyone says. This is the playoffs. I don't care what anyone says. That was the playoffs, and this is the other playoffs. Like, this is round one, but that doesn't change the fact that the play-in was the playoffs. Because you made the bubble, you made the playoffs. The Florida Panthers were in the playoffs, and they're not anymore.
Right. Yep.
L. Same with the Rangers.
All right. Any last thoughts, boys, before we wrap this one up?
On the Rangers, because you said you should leave them to the end. I was kind of disappointed by that series, not in with the result, obviously, but everyone is, you know, we were talking about how exciting it was from two, you know, high-powered offenses. It kind of wasn't a good series. It was just the Hurricanes were much better and showed it.
Did you guys watch it? Because I watched all the games.
Like, I did too.
Yeah, listen, the Rangers are just, they're a one-line team. You shut down Zibanejad Panarin, it's really kind of over offensively. That's, you know, Ranger fans can be happy all they want with guys like Strom and all that. But in the second half of the season, when you're out of the playoffs, guys like Strom are going to get points. You've seen them do it with the Islanders. It don't mean anything. Like, doesn't mean anything. I don't care what you did. Once you're out of the playoffs, it's like typical. You see guys go
on. Open it up. Their numbers are always higher on bad teams. Look at the stats on Ottawa. Those guys all put up great numbers.
Yeah, their defense is straight trash. Like, it's like you could pump up D'Angelo all you want. The guy's not great on defense. Yeah, he's going to put up some points because he pinches in. That's kind of what they do. But other than Trouba, they're bad. And then they got good goaltending. But it wasn't from Lundqvist all year, and they played him. So, you know, they probably should have.
Shesterkin was unfit to play. I thought after that first game, even with Shesterkin not being able to go, they should have started Georgiev.
What happened to Georgiev? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they just – that was a respect move. I don't think they thought they were going to go deep anyway, and I thought they said give Hank one last run at it.
Either Hank's going to Seattle or Georgiev's going to Seattle. That'll be their goalies, I guarantee it.
Yeah, they're going to get one of them.
They're gonna have great goaltending, just like the Vegas Knights did. That's my opinion on that one.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Hank can be the face of Seattle.
I love it.
Yeah,
yeah, but it kind of guarantees they're not gonna win anything, doesn't it? It's like, you know, we thought we were gonna be better than the Golden Knights, and you know, not just make the Stanley Cup final to win it, but we have Lundqvist. So JK, LOL.
Listen, but Lundqvist played in front of the worst Rangers teams like the last few years. I mean, these guys are bad, dude. Like, they give up quality. They play this, like, dangerous hockey. Like, it's like, it's cool, you know, it's like something to write about because you're going to have a couple guys on your team that get a ton of points, but they're not like structurally sound. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, all these Ranger fans that were drinking the Kool-Aid this season, I'm like, you guys, they're
crazy. You're out of your
mind. You went on a run when you knew you were out and you could play loose. Like, it's different.
Regular fans don't even understand that. They think you're speaking Chinese. Like, it doesn't even compute. They're like, what? That's a thing? No, they're all just games. Now, these guys are not robots, dude. Like, they have feelings, and there's, like, ups and downs. And when you're out, you know, it's like, oh, we're getting paychecks here. We're so professional. Let's go out and have fun, boys. Like,
Think about how many times on those terrible Islander teams, like, the last 15 games of the season, like, they'd win, like, a bunch. And you'd be like, oh, they figured it out. Like, no, they didn't. They didn't figure it out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're in.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice that, you know, a team that didn't deserve to be in the playoffs went home very quickly. I love that they were the first team out too. That was just sweet.
And people were picking them, spitting chicklets, picking them and shit. You know, they hate the Islanders, but they love in the Rangers, dude. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm glad that worked out well for them.
Nah, all right. It's good to be.
Well, on that note, you got to end it on the red pants, right? I mean, you have to.
So. Absolutely.
Anyway, bring on whoever it is. I'm ready. Playoffs, round one, part two, sort of, kind of, 2020. Gotta love it. Hey, follow us on Facebook, Long Island Sound Isles Cast. Drop us a like, review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Call Ken a genius or an idiot, whatever you want to do. Let us know what you think of our takes. We'd love to hear it. Follow us, or you can check us out on Spotify, on SoundCloud, on Anchor FM, all those. And hey, enjoy the weekend of games. Enjoy the matchups for round one, and let's reset this thing and get ready to go next week. So,
yeah.
For Ben and Kenny, I'm Damon. Catch you guys later.